Today's daf is Tainus Daf Yud Dalet, and we are 17 lines from the top of Daf Yud Dalet Amid Aleph Tani Chada. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, of Vadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora Basmecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaya Maharim ben Fega, Tamar Bas Chasida from Rivka, Eliyoza ben Brindle, Mordechai Yisrael ben Esther, Chana Rivka bas Freida, Menachem Mendel ben Rachel Mendel, Gittel bas Chaya, Gedalia Eliezer ben Roizem, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Rivka bas Esther, Sara Sheinzel bas Yittel, Eliyo ben Silla, Sara Leah bas Esther Rivka, Hena Perel bas Yoicheved, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Yitzchak ben Reb David Alevi, Ali Ilu Nishmas Alter Tzvi ben Aharon. Today's daf is also being learned in honor and as a schus for the wedding of Avrami Pressman and Malki Wallach. Avrami is the son of Echad b'nei Achabura, Reb Aharon, and the couple should be zeicha to build a bayis neman b'Yisrael l'shem v'l'seferes. So we're moving along. The last daf of the first parak of Masechtas Tainus, the topic of the daf is Tainus, specifically fasts that were instituted by the Rabbonim in the event that it hadn't rained. And one of the things that we saw was that the fasts were put into place in phases, meaning Yud Zayin Mar Cheshvan, if it hadn't rained. So there were three fasts that were instituted, but those fasts were only for the quote-unquote Yechidim. If Rosh Chodesh Kislev came and it still hadn't rained, then the entire tzibur had to start partaking in the fast. There were three fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday. If it still didn't work, another three fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday. If it still hadn't worked, this time there were already seven fasts. So that as far as the tzibur goes, the fasting that was done in the event that it hadn't rained was really broken up into three phases. There was phase one, which was three, phase two, which was another three, and then there was phase three, which was seven. And each phase had different levels of severity. Naturally, as the situation progressed and more time passed, and it still hasn't rained, so the nature of the individual fasts began to intensify. So the Gemara is going to begin with a halacha, three brises related to these fasts, says the Gemara. Tani chada. We learned in one brisa, ubarois umeinikois mesanois. Women that are pregnant or that are nursing would fast, barishoinois, the first fast, but they mesanois bachroinois, but they wouldn't fast on the latter fast. V'tani yidich, we learned in another brisa, mesanois bachroinois fakar. They would fast in the latter fast, but they mesanois barishoinois, but they were exempt from fasting in the first fast. V'tani yidich, we learned in even a third brisa, in Mesanis, Loi Berishanis, Veloi Bachroinis. They didn't fast not the first and not the last. Now, the reason Mu'uberes and a Meinekes are different when it comes to fasting is because of the risk and the danger involved in them fasting. That's why even Halacha L'maisim, Mu'uberes and a Meinekes are treated very leniently when it comes to Tanesim. The problem is, here we have three brises that really are based on that premise, but three brises that would seem to contradict each other. The first brise says they fast the first, not the last. The second brise says they fast the last, not the first. And then we have a third brise that says they don't fast, not the first, not the last. Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said, you know how you make sense of all this? Nekoit amitziyasa biyotcha de metartzen kulu. The mu'ubarois and the meinikois, they would fast the middle fast. It was the middle set, that's what they used to fast. And if you know that, meaning that only the middle one they fast, but the first and the last they didn't, then you can make sense of all of the brises. How so? So there's a long Rashi that explains it. It's very, very simple. The first brisa that says, Ubarus umenikois mesanois barishoinois ve'im mesanois bachroinois, rishoinois doesn't mean the first three fasts. It actually means the second three fasts. The reason we're calling it rishoinois is relative to the achroinois. So the second is the first of the latter two. The brisa that says, mesanois bachroinois ve'im mesanois barishoinois, achroinois doesn't mean the last, it also means the middle. We're calling it achrayness relative to the first, which is the rishoinus. And then the brisa that says, ein mesanis loy berishoinus v'loy b'achrayness, loy berishoinus means not the first three, loy b'achrayness not the last three. However, they would fast the middle three. So Rav Ashi said, nekoit amitziyasa b'yadcho. Just know that they used to fast the middle three, and if they fasted the middle three, then everything is going to make sense. Rashi says that, why did they not fast the first three? So that's pasha, because the first three are not so chamer. We saw in Halacha, the first three were treated the most leniently, so you can understand why they wouldn't fast the first three. But what about the last three? The last three, or last seven, those are the most chamer. And by the way, if they fasted the middle, you would think kal v'chomer they should fast the last. So Rashi says, you have to say, the reason is because the last group was seven. It wasn't three, it was seven. And being that it's seven, it's already too much, and therefore they didn't fast. So three, they can fast. But seven, that already was too much. So the Ubarois and the Meinikois, they would fast the middle, not the first, not the last. So going back to the Mishnah said, Ma elu yiseiros al rishon. So the Mishnah was describing the second set and the third set. And what was the chumrah that you had in the third set versus the second? Sheba elu masriyin, the noyalin asachanuyos. The third set, they were masriyin, which we taich means they would blow shofar, although we're going to learn the Gemara now, where we'll see it's not so simple. The noyalin asachanuyos, additionally, they would close the store. So the Gemara says, b'may masriyin, when the Mishnah said that they used to blow, what exactly does it mean? Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, b'shofaris, it means they would blow shofar. Masriyin is miloshin true. Rav Yehuda, b'reid Rav Shmuel, bar Shelas, b'reid Rav Oma, Rav Yehuda, who was the son of Rav Shmuel, bar Shelas, who was a good friend of Rav, who sent in the name of Rav Ba'anenu. Now, what it means is that they were Masriya Ba'anenu. So first, what does this even mean? So Masriyan is very pashit. Shoifrois, Miloshin Trua, that's what B'Shoifrois mean. What does Anenu mean? So Rashi says that he saw some Pshatim, that Anenu means B'Tfilas Anenu. That there was an idea that by Tfilas Anenu, they were Masriyan, which means they would yell and they would scream, and instead of just davening, they would daven b'kol ram, just like a shofar makes a lot of noise. So they were masriyim b'aneinu, they would say very, very loudly tfilas aneinu. But Rashi says it's a mistake. And one of the reasons Rashi says it's a mistake is because it sounds like the whole aneinu was only done maybe by the third set. And we know aneinu was said from the beginning. Any tainus, even a tainus yochid, is supposed to say tfilas aneinu. So it's not mashma that the masriyin is referring to aneinu. Rather, what it means, says Rashi, is it's the aneinus that we say in slichos. Reading Rashi, Dibra Maschel, Rav Yehuda Amar, masriyim aneinu b'kol ram. Hayitzoyakin, aneinu avinu aneinu, aneinu elikei Avram aneinu, aneinu elikei Yitzchok aneinu, hakeinu aneinu elikei Yaakov aneinu, hakol kifisha oimrim b'seif haslichos. The way we say it b'seif haslichos, and that's what it's referring to. But the bottom line is we have a machlokes hamiram what it means in the Mishnah Masriyim. One pshat, Rav Yehuda said it means shayfris, they would blow shayfris, miloshin trua. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shela, said in the name of Rav, no, it means not shayfris, it means kol ram. That's what the word Masriyim means, and specifically was by aneinu. Which anenu? That anenu that was said by slichas, and this was only done by the last set. So the Gemara says, "Gosolka daitach." It sounds like manda amar banenu leyamar b'shayfer. So manda amar b'shayfer leyamar banenu. Right? That's what most machloikis are. You have a machloikis. One mandama says masriyim means shayfer. The other mandama says masriyim means tfilas anenu. Okay, the mandama that says shayfer holds not anenu. The mandama that says anenu holds it's not shayfer. But the Gemara says it can't be vatanya because it's enough in a brayse. Ein poichsim yishevet tainiyos ala tzibur. Can't have less than seven tainiyos ala tzibur. This is referring to the last set. Shebahen yud ches hasrois. And during the seven tainiyos, there were yud ches hasrois. Okay, so the word hasrois here means masriyim. The simin ledover, here's the punchline, yerichai. A simin ledover, meaning to know what the word hasroi means, think about what happened when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, and they came to the city of Yerichai. Now, you know what happened by Yerichai? The Yerichai Shaifres Ava. Shaifres, Aleinu L'Shabeach, played a big role in the battle of Yerichai. But the point is that if the Braisa says simin ledover Yerichai, Zach Rashi, what is the Braisa trying to say? It's coming to tell me what the word hasrois means. The similar dover is coming to clarify something that's a little bit ambiguous. You know what's ambiguous? The word hasrois. Why is it ambiguous? Because it can mean shayfris or it can mean b'kol ram. You see, it's machlokes hamiram. And that's why the Braisa is clarifying that similar dover means yericha. Yericha was shayfris, so that's what this means. But the bottom line is, as you see, it means shayfris. Afraid the Gemara, how could there be a mandama that says aneinu? Who is the mandama? Rav Yehuda, b'reid Rav Shmuel bar Shelas mishmei de Rav. And it's mashma aneinu v'loipe shayfris. He have a manaf in a Braisa. Meaning the Mishnah, I don't know. Mishnah just says masriyim, but the Braisa says similar dover yericha. So the Braisa is clarifying the halacha of the Mishnah and says clearly that it means b'shayfris. The tiyufta l'mandama b'aneinu. So this is a kasha. It's a tiyufta on the mandama that said aneinu. So the Gemara says you have to say. Ella b'shoifris t'kuli amalei pligi d'kar le'asar. You have to say, really, everybody agrees that in our Mishnah, when it says masriyin, it means shoifris. There's nothing to talk about. That's what it means in our Mishnah. The raya is the braisa. The braisa is explaining the halach of the Mishnah and says similar to yericha, yericha with shoifris. Keep pligi. So what's this machloikis amirah? It wasn't really on our Mishnah. But rather, the Machloikis HaMeiram is referring to a different halacha. The Machloikis is Ba'anenu. It's referring to Anenu. Mar Sovar Kori Le'asra, Umar Sovar Loi Kori Le'asra. So Rashi says that this means that we're going to see later there were different times where Bezdin was Gozatainis, and there were different times that they had to be Masri'in. And it was over there that there was a machloikis, what masriya means. Does it mean anenu? Or does it mean shayfres? But enochinami, in our Mishnah, in the first parak of Masechtas Tainis, where we're dealing with Tainis Tzibur because of the fact that it hadn't rained, everybody agrees that the word masriyan is milosh and trua. Everyone agrees that it means shayfer. How do you know that? Because it's a braisa. The braisa says, simen ledavar, yirichai. Ay, there's a machloikis. Machloikis is regarding a different halacha. And over there was a shayla. Does the word masriyan mean shayfer? Or does the word masriyan mean anenu? The Gemara concludes and just says, as it relates to that machloikis, l'man damar b'anenu kol shkem b'shayfer. The one that says it means anenu, it certainly means shayfer. L'man damar b'shayfer, ava b'anenu loy. The one that says over there that it means shayfer, anenu not. Ayin b'achroinim. Some say that this line really doesn't belong in the Gemara. But either way, says the Gemara, v'tanya, is that true? Is it possible that the word masriyan could mean anenu? Meaning, this is like a mechudish tigetaych for the word masriyan. Usually, you see the word masriyan, you think immediately shayfer. You think of the lashon of trua. Now we're saying, no, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that. Now, in our Mishnah means that, kosim ledav yirichai. But maybe, if you find the word masriyan in shas, before you jump to a conclusion and assume for sure it means trua, lav dafka. Maybe really what it means is tefilas anenu. One of the things Rashi says when he's mefarish his Gemara is that even though you would say, of course masriyan means trua, like why are we even complicating something that seems so simple? Why is there a mandama that says it means maybe something else? So Rashi says something very nice. He says, because usually when the Gemara refers to trua in the verb, it refers to it not as masriyan, but rather marian. Toikin umarian. Throughout Shas, the word is always maria. It's not masriya. And even though the tof is part of the word trua, but in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, it was always toikin umarian, the toikin. Now all of a sudden we have the masriyan. So that's what threw the amiraim for a little bit of an idea that maybe it means something else. But the Gemara says, bottom line, Vatanya, we learned to the Brais, Vashar Kalmini Peroni Samus Rakshas. Any other terrible tsara that would come to the Jewish people, Kigun Chikuch. Chikuch means shchin, boils, chagov. Grasshoppers, zvuv v'tzira v'yatushin, different types of bugs, v'shniluach nechashim v'akrabim, snakes and scorpions, lehoi masriyim, they weren't masriya, elet soyakin. Rather, they would daven, and they would daven very, very loudly. Now, what do you see from here? Lehoi masriyim, elet soyakin. Now, we don't know what masriyim is, but let's process of elimination. They didn't masriya, rather they would soyak. Now, we know what tzayik means. That for sure means to scream and to yell and to daven really loudly. Must be asra doesn't mean that. So if it doesn't mean that, what does it mean? It must mean shayfer. So don't you see the flourish from this braisa that the word masriyan means shayfer? So the Gemara says, you do. It's true. This braisa is checkmate. That the word masriyan, not just maria, but masriya also means shayfer. However, it's still possible for there to be an amoira, specifically Rav Yehuda Bereda Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas in the name of Rab, who had a different taich because there's a brisa somewhere else that would seem to suggest another pshat. No, Yehi, the time you learn to the brisa, later masriya b'Shabbos. The following things you're allowed to be masriya on Shabbos. Al ir sheki for gaius, a city that was surrounded by troops. Ay nahar, or a river is taking over a city. Val sfina matrefes bayam, or there's a boat that's at sea. Rabbi Yosi said le Ezra, you're allowed to call out for help. Says, what do we mean when we say Al Eilu Masri Ilim B'Shayfris? Doesn't mean we're a shayfer. Shayfris B'Shabbos Mishari. You're not allowed to blow shayfer on Shabbos. El Abaneinu must be Tfila V'Kari LeAsra. And you see, it's called Asra. Shema Mina. So says the Gemara that even though it's true, we just had a brayso that clearly uses the word Masriya to mean shayfer. But there's also another brayso that maybe uses the word Masriya to mean Tzaka. Bottom line is Masriya can mean either one. Miria. Toikin umari and the toikin for sure is milosh and trua. What about masriyan? That's a shaylo. Could be it means shayfer. It could be it means tsa'aka. There's a brisa this way. There's a brisa that way. As it relates to our Mishnah, just coming full circle, dafyud beis amud beis, where it says by the seven last tanesim they were masriyan. That for sure means shayfers. Why? Because we have a brisa that says similar to yericha. But what about in other places? We'll see later in Masechtas Tainis. This word masriyan is going to come up again. Over there, there was a machlokes amiram. Some amiram held that it means shayfer, and some amiram said that it means tefila. Tefila very, very loudly. Tefila biderech tzaaka. In the times of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, as in Rebbe, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the author of the Mishnah. He was known as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. This is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who's a grandchild of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, but like his Zayda, he was the Nasi. His name was Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Havetzaira. There was something very bad that was going on. Gaza Tlas Esri Tainius. So he was going to 13 Tainius, Vlayani. And it didn't help. The Yidden weren't answered. So he decided that he wants to be goyzer more than 13 tainis. Amalei Rav Ami. So Rav Ami told him, Hari Amru, we have a klal. It's too much. No, once you already impose 13 tainis, you can't impose anymore. Amalei Rav Abba, Breid Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Rav Ami da'ovad, legarmehu da'ovad. So Rav Abba, who was the son of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, so he said, you know, Rav Ami told Rav Yehuda Nasi, you can't be goyzer more than 13 tainis. You know why he did it? He did it legarme. Interesting Rashi. Third line from the top. Legarme la'atzmoy darash. He did this on his own. Shaloi Omar ella lafishu hu loy hayo roitza lesanois. Interesting. He didn't want to fast. And because he didn't want to fast, it was already enough. He fasted 13 tainias. It was probably from the Yechidim, so maybe he even fasted 3 tainias earlier, assuming they had those tainias for this tsar. But the bottom line is, he says he didn't want to fast, and that's why he did. Allah Hachi Amar Rabchi Barabo, Amar Rabbi Chazatei Rabchi Barabo, send the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Lo Yishanu El Likshamim. This that you find there were 13 tainias. Weird. That was by the rain, the 3 and the 3 and the 7. Avol Hashamim Diperonis, as it relates to any other tsara, Mesanin V'Hoylchen Atchianu Men Hashamayim. You don't stop after 3, but you continue fasting until you answer. Tanya Nami Hachik, Kushamru Shalish, Ukushamru Sheva, Lay Amru Elo Likshamim. The methodology that we've had, 3 and then 7, that's for rain. We're learning the sugyas right now of rain. The whole beginning of the Masechta was rain, rain, rain. So even the tiniest that we're dealing with are tiniest related to rain. Aval Hasharmi de Peronis, but when it comes to other tsaras, Masana Vahokan Achianu, you continue fasting until your answer. Zokti Gemara, Lema Tiavi Tiufta de Ravami. Okay. We just said that Tanya Nami Hachi, it's a Mefurish Abraisa. Meaning, Rav Ami said, you can't impose more than 13 fasts. And nothing to do with rain, but still, just like by rain it was 13. So Rav Ami said, here too, you draw the line, you can't have more than 13. And the Amiram said, oh, Rav Ami, you're saying that because you don't want to fast. How could you say that to Rav Ami? Veisachnish. But Rav Ami, legarmi hudavit. You're saying this because you don't want to fast. Okay, so Rav Ami has a right to argue. The problem is, Tanya Nami Hachi. We just said it's a braisa. Kisha amru shalosh, ukisha amru sheva, loy amru ela liksham. Oh, now we have an issue. Rav Ami doesn't have to be impressed by the fact that someone said that I disagree with you. Or someone said you're only doing it because you don't want to fast. Oh, but a braisa? That's an issue. So, Freita Gemara, Lema Tiyavet Tiyufte de Rav Ami. The Braisa at first glance would seem to be a checkmate on Rav Ami. Rav Ami and Amoira can't argue with a Braisa. Rav Ami, Rav Ami is going to tell you Tanohi. I know that Braisa. But you should know that Braisa is a controversial Braisa. Everybody agrees with this Braisa, even though the Braisa doesn't mention any names. But still, it's not a stam Braisa. In fact, the halach of the Braisa is subject to a machloikis Tanoim. Therefore, I have a right to argue with the halacha of this braisa because I'm supported by a tana that's mentioned in that other braisa. What's that braisa? The tanya in goyzrin yoyser mishloish esri tainiyas al atzibur. You're not allowed to impose more than 13 tainiyas al atzibur. Lefi she'ein matrichen es atzibur yoyser midai. Because you can't be matrich the tzibur too much. Divrei Rebbe. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel loymer. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said loy men hashem ozeh. That's not the reason. El b'pnei she'yotza zmanu shal revir. The reason you don't have more than 13 fasts is because it's not the rain season anymore. The Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel were discussing the halacha that when it came to rain, and if it hadn't rained the beginning of the winter, there were 13 fasts. They both said not more than 13 fasts. You see from the Mishnah, it was 13. And ein goyzrin yoyser mishloish esri tainis alatzi. But 13 is a real number. It stops there. They were not goyzer more. But they argued why. Rebbe said, because more than 13 fasts is just cruel and unusual. It's just too much. So it's true, it hasn't rained, you have to do tshuva, and you have to have fasts, and you have to do a lot of things. But at the same time, how much could a person fast? So therefore, we stop. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, that's not the reason. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe's father. So he says, no, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, it's not the reason. You want to know what the reason is? Because if you make the cheshbin, you're supposed to fast during the rain season. The first rain season, which is known as Yoira. The second is Malkosh. But during the Yoira season is when you fast. Once the Yoira season passes, at that point, there's no point to fasting anymore. So we have a machloikas Rebbe, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why only 13 fasts? Again, they're not arguing what, they're arguing why. They agree there's 13 fasts when it doesn't rain. The shaila is why. According to Rebbe, It's just, you can't. It's just too feel. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's more technical. It's more related to the rain season. Says, what's the nafkamina between this machloikis? The nafkamina would be, what if there was a tzara that's not rain related? According to Rebbe, en goizrin gzera ala tzibur yoyse midah. You would never fast more than 13. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, dafka by rain, it's related to the zman of yoyre and malkush. But if it's a different type of tzara, over there you wouldn't have an issue. So the Gemara says, Rav Ami held like Rebbe. He held that the reason you don't have more than 13 is because it's just too much. So therefore he told Rav Yehuda to see it. Even though this tzara has nothing to do with rain, he said, Aber dein Zede, Rav Yehuda Anasi, dein Zede, Rav Yehuda Anasi held that we have a brisa. There's a brisa that says clearly that when it comes to different tzaras, it can be more than 13. That brisa is going, said Rav Ami, to Rav Yehuda Nasi, like your Elta Zeda. No, that's Rav Shimon Gamliel. We don't pass it like Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the halacha is, it's related to the rainy seasons. And the Chanami over here would be different. But the bottom line is, the fact Rav Ami is connected to brisa is not a problem, because Ami has a Tana de Mesayeli, the Tana of Rebbe. So the Bnei Nineveh sent the following telegram to Rebbe. So Nineveh was one of the most important cities in the ancient world. In fact, Nineveh was the capital of Ashur, right? Nineveh of Yoina fame. It was the capital of Ashur, which was the ancient nation of Assyria. So the Bnei Nineveh, these were Yidden, and they sent the following question to the Gadol Hador, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Here's the question. People like us. I'm sorry. We need rain even during the summer. What should we do? Now this Shaila had nothing to do with fasting. This was a Shaila related to the same Talumata Levracha. We stopped saying the same Talumata Levracha on Pesach. Their question was, we live in a region where the seasons do not go in tandem with the way it is in Eretz Yisrael. So we feel it's poshut, we should be davening for rain, even during the summer. The question is, how should we do it? Shouldn't we do it ki yechidim, which would mean we should say it in the middle of Shemei Tefillah. If a yachid wants to daven for something, so he's supposed to say it in the middle of Shema Kileinu, says Rashi. Oy, kirabim daminan. Or maybe we should just say the same Talamata Levracha in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. Ki yechidim daminan ube Shemei Tefillah. It should be middle of Shemei Tefillah. Kirabim daminan. Or like we were rabbim, Birchas Hashanim. It should be in the middle of Birchas Hashanim. So Shalach Lu, he sent them back. Ki yechidim damisu. You're like yechidim ube Shemei Tefillah. You should say in the middle of Shemei Tefillah. Meaning, the meaning in Klal Yisrael is to stop by Pesach, and therefore you should do the same thing. You need rain, say the same Talamat al-Racha, and say it in the middle of Shemei Tefillah. Meisavei. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Emas, Ibis, Manshah, Shonam, Kitek, Nevi, Yisrael, Shulam, Ad, Masan. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is talking not about the same Talamat al-Racha, he's talking about all the fasts of the Mishnayis and Masechtas Tainis. So he said, when do we impose all these fasts? That's when it was Shonam, Kitikunam. That's when things were very regimented. The Yisrael Shruyan Alat Masan and the Yidim were living in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yehuda said, nowadays, that you look at each individual place, each individual region, and the Bezdin of that door should try to figure out exactly how to impose it. Meaning, these Mishnayos, Yud Zayin Mar Cheshvan, this, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, that, three, seven, that's all when things are going the way they're supposed to go. Elikim asas adam yashar. In that world, this is the way it's supposed to be. But now, unfortunately, it's very, very different. So what's the Gemara's kasha? The assumption is, if this is what Rabbi Yehuda said, with regards to the tiny yois, presumably it should be the same thing with regards to the same talumata levracha. It should be akoylofi hashonim, akoylofi hamekoymois, if that's the case, we have a kasha from Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi. How could Rabbi say, follow the Bnei Eretz Yisrael? And if you want to say the same Talamata Levracha, just throw it into Shemei Tefillah. But you can't say the same Talamata Levracha in the summer. I thought Rabbi Yehuda said, so the Gemara says, Amalei Masisa Ramos Aleder, Rabbi, what kind of kasha is this? You're asking a kasha from something Rabbi Yehuda said to something Rabbi said? Now granted, Rabbi Yehuda was a dar earlier than Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, but still, Rabbi's allowed to argue with Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Tanahu Upalik, right? Rav is a Tanahu Upalik. Geshmak line. Rabbi is certainly a Tanahu Upalik. Rebbe's allowed to argue with a Tana. Rebbe's Talmidim are allowed to maybe argue with Tana. Certainly Rebbe is. So what kind of kasha is that? So the Gemara says, I hear, bottom line, my havi Allah, What's the tachlis? Rav Nachman said bebrichas hashanim. You're supposed to say it bebrichas hashanim, meaning these people. Rav Sheshet said b'shmei tefila. Rav Sheshet said that those yid, if they want to say the same talamacha, say in the middle shmei tefila. The hilchas and what's the halacha b'shmei tefila to say in the middle shmei tefila. Now, what's the obvious sushtal to this gemara? This sounds eerily similar, pun intended, to the rush that we spoke out the beginning of the week, where the Rosh says in a tshuva that when he came to in Ashkenaz, in Germany, he always had this taiva that he wanted to change the whole way that we say Mash v'sein talu motel levracha bizman hazeh, and he tried putting up a fight, and he had that 1 year. It's enough in a Gemara. It's Mamash Mufurish Gemara, right? Aren't these Yidden that are living in Ninveh, like the Yidden that were in New Zealand that sent the Shaila to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank? It sounds like it's the same exact Shaila. So it's enough in a Gemara. And the Gemara says you can't just say v'sein talu motel levracha the way you want. You have to say it in the middle of Shemei Tefillah. So you know, asks this kasha the Rosh. The Rosh himself in that tshuva, he addresses that at first glance it's what seemed to be a mafurish Gemara. The Rosh answers the kasha ayin sham. Zok the Gemara weiter. B'sheini matim im chashecho u'bichamishi kol ayom nei kovet Shabbos. So now already we're discussing the time where they. Still hasn't rained, and we're at the last set of tainias, which are the seven tainias. Now, what was unique about those? Number one, should the elu masriyin. What does that mean? Even though sometimes it means shayfer, sometimes it means saka, but over here for sure it means shayfer. Additionally, v'noyel in asachanuyas, they would close the stores on the fast days. Now, what were the fast days? Mondays and Thursdays. So says the Mishnah, but there was a difference between Monday and Thursday. B'sheini matin im chashecha. On Monday, it was closed the whole day, but then towards the end of the day, they would open it up a little bit. Matin means it was like a little open. So it was open a little bit so that people could buy food to break their fast. Ubechamishi, on Thursday, mutarit mipnei kovet haShabbos. But Thursday was more kuladik because Thursday, you're not just going to need to buy food to break your fast, but it's also a cheshbon of kovet Shabbos. So the Gemara says that this one line is actually a little bit unclear. Ibailu, hey chiktani, how are you supposed to read the Mishnah? Bebeis matim im chashecha ubehe kol ayoyim ibnei kovet haShabbos is the way you read the Mishnah as follows. Besheini matim im chashecha. On Monday, they would open it up a little bit towards the end of the day. Ubechamishi, and on Thursday, they would open it up a little bit the entire day. But the point is, even on Thursday, it was only matin. It was open up a little bit. Oydam, maybe the way you read it is like this. Besheini matin. Sheini matin. Im chashecha. Ubechamishi. And on Thursday, not matin, but poischin kolayem kulay. It wasn't just matin. It wasn't open up a little bit, but it was open entirely. In other words, the question, the halachic question is, what really happened on Thursday? Was it a little bit open? Or was it completely open? Were you able to open up the stores legamri? Or were you only able to open the stores a little bit? And it boils down to how do you read the Mishnah? When the Mishnah says, B'sheini matim im chashecha, u'bichamishi kol ayoyim ipnei kovet haShabbos, does it mean B'sheini matim im chashecha, u'bichamishi matin kol ayoyim? Or does it mean B'sheini matim im chashecha, u'bichamishi kol ayoyim poischim? So the Gemara says, even though the Mishnah is a little bit unclear, but if we start going through some of the braises that said the same halacha as the Mishnah, we're going to find the Marganisa Tava. This is what the Gemara always does, right? So we can have a braisa that was a little bit more clear. Tashma, the Tanya, B'sheini matim ado erev, u'bechamishi poischin kol ayim kulem nekavet Shabbos. Perfect. So the Mishnah was written b'lashin k'tzara. It left out the word poischin. As a result, ibayiluhu, the b'nei yeshiva had a shayla. What did the Gemara do? Tashma, let's go through the braises. Oh, there's a braisa that added one word. The word was u'poischin. That word is machriya. The question, so you see that on Thursday, it wasn't just matin the entire day, but it was actually completely open. The price continues and says, more halachas. Let's say a person has a store and the store has two entrances. You don't need both of them to be open. Open one and close the other one. Let's say somebody had an itztaba, some bench or something in front of the store. Then you'd be able to open it completely because the itztaba serves as it being matin, as if it's a little bit closed. Of course, it's not so easy to get in. So then that in and of itself would constitute matin. What happens if now we fasted already 13 times and still anenu, Hashem anenu, it hasn't been answered yet? The matin said the Mishnah, the maser of a matin, you have to start decreasing the amount of business that you do. Ubebinyan, additionally, bin building, ubenatiya, and planting. Tana, we learned in a braisa. I mean, it sounds a little bit like All construction gets halted. You can't plant. You can't work the fields anymore. The Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. Binyan means binyan shal simcha. Specifically, a binyan shal simcha. Netia, planting, means netia shal simcha. Is that binyan shal simcha? What's an example of binyan shal simcha? Is that a binyan base chasen slavnoi? Someone that's building a chuppah, he's building a canopy for his child to marry him off. Is that a netia shal simcha? What's an example of a netia shal simcha? Is that a noiteya av varniki shal malachim? So there's different pshatim of what this means. Rashi says one pshat is that the derech of the kings were that when a child would be born, they would plant a tree in honor of the rachanimol. And then when this melech got older and it was time for him to be king, they would take the tree and they would use the wood as the wood for his throne. But either way, these are the things that the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do. No binyan shal simcha, no netiya shal simcha. U'b'sheva shalom. And then the Mishnah said that not just that, you stop saying Shalom Aleichem. So you meet somebody in the street, make believe you didn't see him. Kibnei Adam Hanazufin Lamakim. You're supposed to act literally like the Yidin are Chayrim, specifically the Nazufin Lamak. Tanu Rabbanu and Chaveirim ain't Sheila Shalom Minim. And the Mishnah says Sheila Shalom, very important Braisa. Again, Braisa adding language that the Mishnah doesn't say. It's Tavke the Chaveirim. It's the Talmidei Chachamim. But Ame Yaretz Shalom. But if an Ame Yaretz would ask a Chaver, he would tell him Shalom Aleichem, Achzirin Lehem. You're supposed to answer Aleichem Shalom. Rashi, Mipnei Ha'eva. Because otherwise, Ame Yaretz may not fully appreciate what's going on. And he's going to say, look at this. This Talmud Chacham, this Chashev person, he ignored me. And it could be not okay. So therefore, even though the Mishnah says there's no Sheila Shalom, that's Chaverim Ein Sheila Shalom Beinehem. Two people that understand what's going on here, they should not greet each other. But if there's an Amaretz who is not fully appreciating it, so for him, Mipnei Eva, Machzir Lehem. However, B'Safa Rafa, U'B'Kovid Rosh, you don't just give this Varim Agroisa Aleichem Shulam. No, it has to be done a little bit with a Kovid Rosh. Famous Atfin, not just that, the Talmid Chachamim would sit wrapped for Yoshvin, Kavelim, like mourners, Ukumenudin, like people that are in Cherim, Kibnei Odom Harazufin Lamakoim, Achi Rachmalim and Hashemayim, and this continued literally until the Yidden had Yeshua. Am Rabbi Laza. Rabbi Laza said, Ein Odom Chashev Rashoi Lipa Lalpanov, Elim Kein Nena Ki Yeshua Benon. And Odom Chashev is not allowed to daven in a public way where he's going to fall on his face and he's going to make this big spectacle unless he's someone that's so confident that he's going to be answered like Yeshua ben Nun. You see Yeshua ben Nun daven in this way. You're not allowed to daven in that way unless you're like Yeshua ben Nun, but otherwise it's not okay. The reason is because what happens if he's not answered? It could be a chil Hashem. People are going to say, look at this, he davened, he was a big tzaddik, and he wasn't answered. So you have to be careful with the way you go about this. V'amar Rabbi Loza said, Ein Adam Chashev Rashoi Lachkor Sak, Elim Keinene Ki Yohirin Ben Achav. An Adam Chashev is not allowed to put on a sack unless he's going to be answered. Ki Yohirin Ben Achav. Nema Vayikish Maya Melech Es Divrei Ho'isha, Vayikres Begodav Hu'oivar Lachoyma, Vayyaro'am, Vihine Asak Al Besaro. So you see Yehoram Ben Achav put on this sack, and it's only in that instance that it's going to be okay. V'amar Rabbi Loza said, Le'akob B'kriya, V'lo Yakob B'nefila. That when it comes to a person's tefillah is being answered, not everybody gets answered through kriya, and not everybody gets answered through nefila. So nefila is more tefillah, right? Falling on your face and davening. Kriya means rice and kriya. So those are both very powerful tools for tefillahs to be answered. But not everybody through kriya, and not everybody through nefila. Moshe V'harim B'nefila, Moshe V'harim will answer through Nefila, Yeshua v'Kali b'Kriya, Yeshua and Kali were Kriya. Moshe v'Aharon Nefila, Moshe v'Aharon. You see, they did Nefila. When was this? After the Meraglim. The Chesiv Ayipa Moshe v'Aharon al Pneiim. Yeshua v'Kali b'Kriya. How do you know Yeshua and Kali did Kriya? It's the next pasuk. The Chesiv Yeshua ben Nun v'Kali ben Yefuna Karu b'Gdeim. So you see that Moshe and Aharon they did Nefila. Yeshua ben Nun and Kali they did Kriya. Rashi adds that Yeshua and Kali were not in the Madrega of Moshe and Aharon. So Moshe and Aharon, all they needed was Tefila. Yeshua and Kalev and an Eis Tzara, they had to do Kriya. Maskev, Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira asked the Kash. V'item, Rav Shulman Achmed, some say Rav Shulman Achmed is one that asked the Kash. Yeah, v'iksev Yeshua k'deka Amrit. The Pasuk says, v'yipo Moshe v'haren al p'neim, v'yeshua ben Nun v'kalev ben Yefuna kara b'gdeim. What are we saying? Moshe and Aharon did Nefila, Yeshua and Kalev did Kriya. So Rav Zeira, some say Rav Shulman Achmed, he asked, that Bishloima had it said, Yehoshua k'deka Amrit. I would understand. Meaning, you see that Moshe and Aharon did one thing, and Yeshua and Kalev did another thing. But hashtag the chsiv vi Yehoshua, but it doesn't say Yehoshua, it says vi Yehoshua ben Nun v'Kalev Yefuna. The vav is Moisef Alinyan Rishon. It sounds like Hava Ha'ava. It sounds like Yeshua and Kalev did both. They did both Nefila and they did Kriya. Okay. Vam Rabbalaz said, Le'a kol b'kima v'loi ha'koil b'hishtachava. So this is describing the end of days when the nations of the world are going to greet the Melech Yisrael. So then all the Chosha people are going to come, and they're going to act with different ways of kavod. So says the Gemara, lo yakol b'kimo. Now everybody is going to come standing. V'lo yakol b'shtachava, and everyone's going to come bowing. Melochim b'kimo. The melochim are going to be standing. V'sarim, and the sarim b'shtachava, they're going to be bowing. Melochim b'kimo. D'chsev k'yamar Hashem goyel Yisrael k'doishoy. And what's the end of the pasuk? Livzoy nefesh l'mesoyev goyel even moishlem melochim yiru v'kamo. Melachim Yir v'komo, you see the Melachim are going to be standing. V'sarim v'shtachavoyo, because the pasuk concludes, and the chsiv, sarim v'yishtachavu. So again, some are going to be b'kima, some are going to be b'shtachavon. Maskev l'Rab Zeiro, so Rab Zeiro asks, v'yitem o'Rab Shmuel bar Nachmeni, I'av iksiv v'sarim yishtachavu k'degamre. Had it said v'sarim yishtachavu, I would agree with you, but hashad the chsiv sarim v'yishtachavu, the vav is on the word yishtachavu, hava ha'avin. It sounds like the Melachim are going to be standing, and the sarim are going to also be standing, but they're also going to be bowing. So it sounds like they're going to actually be doing both. Again, it's all Hilchasa L'Mashicha. I don't even know if it's Hilchasa, but you see from here that he just said that you're saying the kings are going to be one way and the Sarim are going to be the other way. I disagree. The kings will be one way and the Sarim are going to incorporate what the kings are doing, and they're also going to add to that Hishtachava. One final Gemara on this note. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Afan Ni Oimer. I want to add to this list. Lo yakol la'ira, for lo yakol b'simcha. So we said lo yakol b'kriya, lo yakol b'nafila, lo yakol b'kima, for lo yakol b'shtachavaya. So Nachman Yitzchak said lo yakol la'ira, for lo yakol b'simcha. La'asad lavay. The people that do the right thing on this world, the people that are able to overcome their temptations, and they go up to Shamayim, and they're going to be Zoychat Olam Haba. Not all Olam Habas were created equally. Not everyone's going to get the same thing. Lo yakol oir, not everyone's going to be Zoychat Oir. V'lo yakol simcha, and not everyone's going to get simcha. How so? Tzadikim lo oir. The tzadikim are going to get oir. V'yisharim lo simcha, and the yisharim are going to get simcha. Tzadikim lo oir. How do I know that? Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tichsiv. Oir zarua la tzadik. Uli Yisharim Simcha, how do I know that? Dichsiv, Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. So the Tzadikim are going to get Oira, and the Yisharim are going to get Simcha, and it's not the same thing. Lo Yakoy Lo Oira, V'lo Yakoy Lo Simcha, Hadron Aloch Me'emosai. So as it relates to the raid, we'll focus on this very, very, very last Gemara. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Afani Oimer, Lo Yakoy Lo Oira, there's going to be oira for those that merit it, and there's going to be simcha for those that are merited. But not everyone's going to get oira, not everyone's going to get simcha. In fact, tzadikim, someone that's a tzadik, he's going to be zoicha to oira. V'yisharim, someone that's a yashar, l'simcha, he's going to be zoicha to simcha. How do I know that, said Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak? It's the pasuk. Oir zarua la tzadik, uli yishrei lev simcha. Oir is zarua la tzadik, uli yishrei lev, the person that's a yashar, he's going to get simcha. Rashi says, last Rashi in the parak, Yisharim l'simcha. The tzaddik's going to get or, the yosha is going to get simcha. Says Rashi, simcha is more than or. Simcha is more than or. So in the world of matan schar, you want to know what's a better benefit? What's more geshmak? Simcha is a more geshmak thing than or. And the reason that the yosher then is going to get simcha and the tzaddik is only going to get ar is the yosharim adifim mitzadikim. The reason is because a yosher is really adif from a tzaddik. And because the yosher is adif from the tzaddik, it's for that reason that the tzaddik who's on the lower madrego, it's ar zarua la tzaddik. He's going to only get ar. Whereas the yosher who's on the higher madrego, it's going to be uli yishrei leiv simcha. So exactly what is a yosher and what is a tzaddik? So that's already a little bit of a complicated noise. Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to have a related raid bite from Gemara Masechtas Avodah Zarah, the Netziv and his Hakdama to his Perish Al HaTorah, his Hamikdavar. So he has a famous thesis about the definition of the word Yashar, specifically the fact that the Avos were referred to as Yesharim. So it's Negeya this daf. It's also Negeya all the Parshiyas HaShavua. So that's going to be a related raid bite. But Rashi says, regardless of what a Yashar and what a Tzaddik is, one thing is clear. The Yashar is on a higher Madrega than the Tzaddik. And that's why Ur is a rule of Tzaddik. But the Yashar, the Yishrei Leif, he's going to get a bigger reward. He's going to get Simcha. The Marsha In Chedushei Agadis, right here on this Rashi, it's also the last Marsha in the first parak of Masechtas Tainus. There was a lot of Agadit in the first parak of Masechtas Tainus. As a result, there were a lot of Marshas. So this is the last Marsha in Chedushei Agadis in the first parak of Masechtas Tainus. Says the Marsha, Pirish Rashi, Yisharim Adifim Mitzadikim. Avol HaRajba Kasa. But the Rajba said, Shaha Yisharim Hi Madrega Lamata Mitzadikim. That it's in the reverse. And that really, the Yashar is on a lower Madrega than the Tzadik. The Chain Nira, says the Marsha, Minusach Nishmas. It's mashma that way a little bit from the tefillah of Nishmas. Shesidron. When we say Nishmas, we say, Bifi Yishorim Tisroimam, Uvesivtsei Tzadikim Tisbarech, Uvilshon Chasidim Tiskadosh, Uvikerev Kedoshim Tisalo. Says the Marsha, in Chedushei Agadis, the last Marsha in the first parak of Masechtas Tainus, that this tefillah, it mentions four levels in Avodas Hashem. Yoshar, Tzadik, Chassid and Kaddish. Befi Yisharim Tisroimim, Uvesivtsei Tzadikim Tisbarech, Uvilshon Chasidim Tiskadosh, Uvikerev Kedoshim Tisal. So the Marsha says that these four Madregas that are mentioned in Nishmas are also mentioned Behadraga. The Yashar is the lowest of the four. Tzadik is number two. The Chassid is number three. And the Kaddish is number four. If that's the case, says the Marsha, it's mashma like the Rashba, not like Rashbi. Because first you say Bifi Yisharim Tisroim, and then you say Besivtsei Tzadikim Tisbarach. So first you mention the Yashar, and then you mention the Tzadik. But the point is, since Yashar first, and it's Tzadik second, which is the Rashba, not Rashi. We have a machlokes, Rashi and the Rashba. What's better, a Tzadik or a Yashar? Rashi says Yashar is Adif Mitzadik. Says the Marsha, the Rashba said that it's just the opposite. The Tzadik is more chashev than the Yashar. Says the Marsha, v'chein nirim minusach nishmas. It's muchach that way from the nusach of nishmas, because in nishmas we say b'fi yishom tisraim in first, and u'besiv say tzadikim tisbaruch, we say less. Incidentally, the Marsha said that the four madregas that are mentioned in nishmas are in order. First Yashar, then Tzadik, then Chassid, and then Kaddish. If that's the case, it would seem then that the Kaddish is the highest of these four Madregas. The Kaddish is more Chashiv than the Chassid, he's certainly more Chashiv than the Tzadik, and he's certainly more Chashiv than the Yashar. The emphasis is not so Pashit. There's a Gemara in Mesechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Amid Beis. The Gemara brings a Braisa in the name of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. And the truth is, this is a famous Gemara. But what's even more famous is the Sefer that was written based on this Gemara. The Sefer Mesilas Yesharim was written based on one Braisa. Amar Pinchas Ben Yair, Torah mivia lidei Zehirus. Zehirus mivia lidei Zrizus. Zrizus mivia lidei Nekios. Nekios mivia lidei Prishus. Prishus mivia lidei Tyra. Tyra mivia lidei Anova, Anova mevila de Yiraschait, Yiraschait mevila de Kedusha, Kedusha mevila de Ruach HaKodesh. And if you look at the Gemara inside, there's a whole bunch of oisnias, there's little alephs and bases and gimels and dalets, because there's major issues over here with what the right gears is. But Pinchas Ben Yair, he introduced the Braisa, which really outlines the Seder of Avodas Hashem. You start off, you have to learn Torah. Torah, it brings to Zahiros, which brings to Zrizos, and then eventually, if you reach, you're able to scale the entire mountain, Ruach HaKodesh, Tchias HaMesim, the holiest of the holy, you come to the highest of all the Madregas. So the Gemara says, so what's the highest Madrega? The Chassidus Gedoyla Mikulan. The highest Madrega is Chassidus. Upligit Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Ta'am Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, another Gedoyla Mikulan. So in this Gemara, what's the highest Madrega? According to the Tanakhama, it's Chassidus. Chassidus is the greatest. Upligid Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that really Anova is the greatest. The Mesilas Yesharim, in his Seder of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's Braisa, his last Midah is Midas HaKedusha. That's the highest Madrega. But the point is, if you look in the Gemara, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, you have one Manama that says Chassidus is the highest Madrega. The highest level a person could attain in Avodah Hashem is he could be called a Chassid. According to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, it's Anova. Anova is Gedoyla Mikulan. That's an oxymoron. But Anova is Gedoyla. That's the highest Madrega. Anova Gedoyla Mikulan. The Mesilas Yesharim said it, that it's Kedusha. And the truth is that the Marsha said that the Nusach of Nishmas is revealing in terms of what the proper say is. I mean that it says in the Nusach of Nishmas, first Yashar, then Tzadik. That's a riot to the Rajba. It's a Kashman Rashi. So Luchur, if that's the case, it's Bilshoin Chassidim Tiskadosh Uvikerev Kedoshim Tisalo. It sounds like it's first Chassid, then Kaddish. Which is the Nusach, it's the Girsa that the Ramchal had in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis. But it's not like the Gemara says Chassidus Gedoyla Mikulan. It's not like the Gemara says that Anova's Gedoyla Mikulan. But either way, this is the Machloikis between Rashi and the Rashba in our Gemara. Rashi says that the yosher is greater than the tzaddik. That's why the tzaddik is only going to get or. Or is the rule of tzaddik. The yosher is uli yishrei lev simcha, because simcha is better than or, because the yosher is greater than the tzaddik. Says the Marsha in Chedushei Agadis, the Rashba said not that way. Rashba said the tzaddik is greater than the yosher. V'chein nirim minusach nishmas. Because you see, first yosher, then tzaddik. And we're just adding, if that's the case, it seems first chassid and then kaddish, which is like the Ramchal's nusach in Mesilas Yesharim, not like the Pashtus in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, daf chof on the days. The Polish Chassidim say over a vart, I don't know if this vart was said by the Kotzke Rebbe, but it's definitely a very, very Kotzke vart. The vart is that we say in Nishmas, Befi Yesharim Tisroimam, Uvesivtsei Tzadikim Tisbarech, Uvashoin Chassidim Tiskadash, Uvikarev Kedoshim Tisal. We've all said it our entire lives. But he said, if you look carefully, the word that we use to describe the Yashar, the Tzaddik, the Chosin, the Kaddish is not the same. The Yashar is Befi Yesharim Tisroimam. He's meroimim HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his mouth. The tzaddik, ubesifzei tzaddikim tizbarech, with his lips. The chassid is uvilshoin chassidim tizkadosh, with his tongue. And the kadosh is bekerev kadoshim tizhalo. It's with his intestines. It's with what's inside of him. So the Kotzke vart is that his four madrigs and avodas Hashem, like the Marsha said, v'chein nira minusach nishmas, this yashar, this tzaddik, this chassid, and this kaddish. The yashar is the lowest of these four. Then comes the tzaddik, then comes the chassid, then comes the kaddish. The Kotzke Rebbe said that the higher a person is in his avodas Hashem, the more his avodas Hashem is going to be b'tznius. The more it's going to be b'atznei aleches. The yashar, who's on the lowest of the four madrigas, it's b'fi yisharim tisraimam. He's meraimim HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his whole mouth. The tzaddik, so in a little bit of a higher madrig, it's not his whole mouth. It's besiftzei tzaddikin. It's only with his lips. His lips are moving, but it's not b'fi yisharim tisraimam. The chassid is on a high madriga. It's uvilshoin chassidim tisgadash. You don't even see his lips moving. His tongue is moving, but it's not his lips. And the Kaddish, he's on the highest of these madrigets, it's Bekerev Kedoshim Tesalal. By him, his Avodah is 100% B'pnimius. His Avodah is 100% B'atznei Aleches. And I was thinking that we learned the Gemara on Daf Hei Amid Beis, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. So we said over Machshava, the Chasam Sofer, the Oilus Ephraim, that really the message of Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis is not specific to Yaakov, but there's something to be learned for every single person. But of course, a mikra yoytze midei pshutai, pun intended in that sugya, and that is Yaakov Avinu was the one that was loy meis. And there was something about Yaakov Avinu that he was loy meis. The Ramban, in the very last Ramban, in Parshas Vayechi, and it's also Rabbeinu Bechaya at the end of Parshas Vayechi, says that the reason it was Yaakov Avinu that was loy meis, because Yaakov Avinu was called Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's Yaakov. He's the third of the Avos. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. He's the Bechir of the Avos. And he was B'madreges HaKedusha. And he says when someone reaches the pinnacle of Kedusha, when someone's Bespitz Kedusha, he's loy meis. He says that's why you find the Gemara says in Ksubas, this was a related raid by Dan Dafe. The Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubas, B'shas P'tiras Yishal Rebbe, that after Rebbe was Nifta, every Friday night he would come home and he would make Kiddush. And Reb Kiveger and Gilian Ashas over there is Mitzayin, the Sefer Chassidim, that says he would be mitzi everybody with his Kiddush. Ay, la mesim chavshi, once somebody's a mace, he's potem in a mitzvah. A cotton can't be mitzi you, because he's potem in a mitzvah. So how could a mace be mitzi you? So says the Sefer Chassidim, it's because tzaddikim b'misasim kruyim chayim. But in the related raid bite, we said over from the Megala Amukos, that the Megala Amukos said it's much deeper than that. It's because Yaakov Avinu was a Gilgal of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, or Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was a Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. And just like Yaakov Avinu was loy meis, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was also loy meis. We know Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was known as Rabbeinu HaKadosh. In fact, the Gemara says in that sugya Masechtas Ksubas, that Yoim Shemeis Rabbi Batlo Kedusha, because that's the essence of loy meis. The essence of loy meis comes from Kedusha. So Yaakov Avinu is the ultimate Kadosh. Kadosh, said the Kotzke Rebbe, maybe, is Bekerev Kedoshim Tezalo. His Avoido is 100% Pnimius. What do we know about Yaakov Avinu? These are the parashiyas that we're learning right now. Yaakov Avinu was an Ishtam Yoshev Oyholim. His avoida was betznius. He was an ishtam, yoshev ha'olam. He sat in a tent. He wasn't out making noise. He was sitting by himself. Yaakov Avinu for 4 years, the Gemara says, hitmin atzmai bebeishem ve'ever yudal etshonim. He was hidden. The Sfarim said that even the Malachim didn't know where Yaakov was. That's why it's not mentioned in the Torah. It was such a covert mission that we only know it by remisa. Vayishka b'makom ahu. The Gemara in the end of the first parak of Masechtas Megillah, do all the math, make the cheshbonos. This 14 years missing. The Torah says, because that's Yaakov. Yaakov's avoida is an avoida of hitmin atzmai. Vayivoser Yaakov levadoi. That's the madreig of Yaakov. The Gemara says in Masechtas Psachim, Avram Avinu referred to the Har Abayis as a har. Yitzchak referred to it as a sada, and Yaakov referred to it as a bayis. What's the difference between a har, a sada, and a bayis? A har is exposed. A sada is exposed. A bayis is betznius, because that's the madrega of Yaakov Avinu. Avram Avinu was mesakin shachris. Yitzchak was mesakin mincha. Yaakov was mesakin mayriv. Shachris mincha, it's during the day. People are outside. People are coming. Mayriv, that's already at Shetichle Regal Menashuk. Nobody's outside anymore during Mayriv. Mayriv, it's quiet. There's nobody outside. Mayriv, Laila is this man of Tznius when nobody's around. Yaakov Avinu was Mesakin Arvis because Yaakov Avinu was Kedusha. He's Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. Look at the Ramban in the end of Parashas Vayechi, Rabbeinu Bechai in the end of Parashas Vayechi. That's the Yisoid of Yaakov Avinu Loimeis. It's Kedusha. Kedusha, like the Kotzker Rebbe said, is Bekerev Kedoshim Tzalo. It's all Bekerev. It's 100% Bepinimius because the highest Madrega is Kodesh, like the Ramchal says. And the highest Madrega is with the person becomes snowbitznius, right? We spoke out yesterday. What's the inyan of kedusha? Tzadikim oichlim ubaylam eschaprim mikol eitzagan ochel toichel. The tzadik is eating. He's just eating. He's taking a glass of water. He's putting a little bit of food in his mouth. But that's a carbon. Usually when you think of a carbon, what's the imagery of a carbon? You see the kayhanim and they're bringing carbonas. The tzaddik is sitting, he makes a shahakol near bedvaroi, he drinks, mikol eitzhagan ochel toichal, like we said yesterday from the Shlach Kodesh. Because just the achil, that's the tachlis atznius. He's doing what to you seems like a mundane thing. But this is the gresta avoidus Hashem. It's bekerif kedoshim desal. You don't see anything. Forget about you don't see this halal. This is garnished. You see mikol eitzhagan ochel toichal. But that's the Kodesh. That's Kirbecha Kodesh. That's the highest Madrega. That's the Madrega of Yaakov Avinu. And that's the Inyan of Yaakov Avinu. And that's why you find this Inyan of Seser and Tznius throughout the narrative of Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu is Kodesh. He's the Bechir Sheba Avos. He's the one that's Loi Meis. And that's the Inyan. That's the Inyan of Bekerev Kedoshim Tesal. You know, the Welt says that in Kotsk, the most important thing was the emes, right? In Kotz, the most important thing was the truth. So Pashit, it sounds like, in Kotz, the worst thing you could do was lie. Midvar Sheker Tirchak, that was from the Averis Chamuris in Kotz. It was way, way, way deeper than that. When the Welt says that in Kotz, the most important thing was the truth, it meant that a person had to be authentic. A person had to be honest. And the worst thing to the Kotzke Rebbe was somebody that outwardly, it appeared he was a greisa oivid, but really v'libay lavimay. But inside, his heart really wasn't with him. Emes meant that the person was authentic. He was true. That his actions matched what he really felt. Like the Gemara said in Tainus Daf Ches, just putting some of the Gemaras together. Nisa livaveinu al kapayim. Your hands are flying up in Shemayim, but your hearts, your lev, are together with your hands. That's the way you're supposed to be. You know, the Kotzker Rebbe used to say, the Chazal say, kol masecha yil l'shem Shemayim. So you say, kol is l'rabois. What's it coming to be, Marba? He says, it's coming to be Marba, even your Maisa Shemayim. The Maisa Shemayim also have to be l'shem Shemayim. Pashit, kol is coming to be Marba, everything else you do. He said, no, kol is l'rabois, the Maisa Shemayim. They have to make sure that all your Maisa Shemayim are also going to be, it's also going to be a Maisa Shemayim. The Kotzker Rebbe used to say, Shabbos hi mi lizoik. Shabbos hi mi lizoik urefura krei v'lava. He said, what's the pshah? He said, because the grest is the oka. Today's daf. Shabbos hi mi lizoik. The grest is the oka that a person could do is what? Is not to scream. Bekerev kedoshim tesalo. This is the gresta geshrei. It cannot say anything. That Shabbos himi lizak. We spoke at the Gemara or the Vart from the Kotzker Rebbe and Sukkot Av Chav Chesem and Aleph. The Gemara said Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. The Kotin Shabbakulon was Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. The Godel Shabbakulon was Yonis and Menazil. Kotin Shabbakulon, Rechim and Zakkai knew everything. He knew everything. Everything, Larabbi Sichas, everything. Who was the Godel Shabbakulon, Yonis and Menazil? I don't know Yonis and Menazil, that what he would say, Torah, Kol Eif HaPereyach, would burn. Tyrus Mechem Kinesin Osan, there was Eish, and anything that would be on top. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, if the Gadol Shabakulam was so gewaldig, what did the Rebbe do? When Hillel learned, what happened? So the Kotzker Rebbe said, nothing. Because his Madrega was so high, it was Bekerev Kedoshim Tazalo. You couldn't see anything. That's a Kotzkevart. Because that's what Emes is. Emes is that I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for myself. What's the barometer? Well, if you're putting on a gerida, so then I don't know. Then you're suspect. But the real litmus test is if a person's Avoida is 100% the Pinimius. It's 100% the care of Kedoshim Tesal. That's how you know. That's how you know that the person is authentic. The Velt tells a story that there was a Kotzke Chassid, Reb Leibola. He was lying on his deathbed, and the Kotzke Chassidim, they all gathered him, and they were waiting for Yetzias Neshama. And there was an awkward silence. And one of the Chassidim, he pipes up and he says, Reb Leibola, tell me, when a person's lying on his deathbed, does he have a Yetzahara? So he says, Ooh, Hatea Yetzahara. He says, really? He has a Yetzirah? What can the Yetzirah possibly be telling him to do? He's mamish about to die. Hatnish kan koichis. The neshama is 1 foot out. What can he possibly be telling him? So he says, you want to know what the Yetzirah is telling me right now? He said, the Yetzirah is telling me to scream and to yell, Shema Yisrael Hashem Aleikenu Hashem Echad. So like this, when I die, people are going to say, Yotza Nishmasai Be'echad. That was the Kotzke Yetzirah. The Kotzke Yetzirah was put on one last show. One last show for the Yoilam. So like this, they're going to say, Ooh, is that Gavein HaTzadik? Yotzen Rishmasik Echad. Because that was Kotz. Kotz was Bekerev Kedoshim Tesal. So we just mentioned the Kotz Gevart. And just to end the first parak with a Vur Gevart. Now, just to clarify, what was the connection between Kotzke and Vork? So Polish Chassidus 101 is Polish Chassidus. Don't fact check me, but it originated with the Chayzim Lublin and then the Yid HaKudosh from Pshischa, who of course had a son and a Talmud, the Rebbe Rabin and Reb Simcha Bonim from Pshischa, and Reb Simcha Bonim had many, many Chashavit Talmidim, Uberoisham, Reb Mendel Kotzke, who became the Kotzke Rebbe, and Reb Yitzchak Vorka. Eventually, B'meshech, the next 100 or so years, Kotz really became Ger, and Vorka became Alexander, which were the two largest Chassiduses before the war. Kotzk, the most important thing, was the truth. That was the emphasis. That was the dogush. It was emes. In Vorka, the most important thing was yenem. That was the most important thing. That was the dogush. And of course, yenem mattered in Kotzk, and the emes mattered in Vorka. But the shayrish, the bach habakuk, v'hamidan al achas, as related to what chassidei Kotzk were, and what the Kotzke Rebbe was teveya, was the ikon was this idea, authenticity, bekerev kedoshim tesalo. In Vorka, it was more yenem. It's giving yourself up for another person. So just to end the perek with an epic Vorkavart that I heard from Rabbi Yankel Gutman. Rabbi Yankel Gutman is Yedid Nafshi of my father. He's also Yedid Nafshi of Rabbi Avrum Yishon. And he shared with me a Vart, a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya that he himself experienced. So he told me he was once walking in Borough Park with his Einikel and he met Rabbi David Orlovsky. Rabbi David Orlovsky was the Geri Rosh Yeshiva Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. And he met Rabbi David Orlovsky. So Rabbi David Orlovsky, they stopped and they were talking a little bit. And he turns to his Einikel. He says, Nu, vos lernst in Yeshiva? So he told him, I'm learning Mesachtes Tainis. He said, you're learning Mesachtes Tainis? So I'm going to tell you a Vart. I'm going to tell you a Vart on Mesachtes Tainis. Mesachtes Tainis begins, Me'ema say maskirin gvurois gesham. When do you start saying gvurois gesham? When do you start saying mashin v'ruach u'meri dageshem? And the Gemara asks the Kasha, Me'ema say maskirin gvurois gesham. Why are you calling it gvurois gesham? V'amai kari le gvurois gesham. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yoichan and said, Mepnei sheyardim begvura. Because when it rains, the rain comes down begvura. So Rabbi David Orlovsky said, what does it mean? That rain is yoyrid begvura. What's the gvura in the rain? So he said, because the Gemara says, we learned it was a machloikis on Daf Tes Amid Beis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Mei geshamim, where does it come from? Rabbi Eliezer said, mimeu kainas u'shaisa. It's ocean water. It goes up into the heavens. It gets sweetened up by the clouds, and then eventually it comes down as rain. Rabbi Yeshua said no. Rabbi Yeshua said, Kol ha'olam kuloi mimayim ha'el yoinim u'shaisa. It comes from the mayim al yoinim. Rabbi Eliezer said, rainwater is the mayim atachtoinim. Rabbi Yeshua said, rainwater is the mayim al yoinim. Torah says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world was all rain. And then Hashem came, and he divided the water. And there was mayim atachtoinim, and there was mayim el yoinim. The mayim atachtoinim, these are the oceans of the world. The mayim el yoinim, that's the rekiya, that's what's up in Shamayim. Chazal say that when the mayim atachtoinim were told that they're going to be relegated to have to be down on this world. They had tremendous chlish sadas, and the mayim atachtonim came crying to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hayitochin, the mayim elyonim gets to be up in shemayim. It gets to be together with the Eibishter, and we have to be here. And they were crying. They said it's not fair. And the Eibishter said, "You're right. And your reward is going to be that every single carbon I'll call carbon chatakriv melech, and not just it is going to be another specific carbon, and that carbon is going to be the nisach hamayim, and that's going to come specifically from you." But the mayim elyonim, they got the better end of the deal. They got to be together in Shemayim. So Abdov Rolovsky said that what happens when it's time for it to rain? Rabbi Yeshua says, "Make Shomim is Mayim El Yoinim." The Eibishter goes to the Mayim El Yoinim and he tells the Mayim El Yoinim, "It has to rain today. There's rain in the forecast. You're going to have to go from being in the Yoinim down here to this world." He says, "Shtel tzach for what the Mayim El Yoinim's thinking. Here I'm up in Shemayim. Here I have this gewaldige kirvus alekim. I have such a dveikus by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And now I have to leave? I have to leave the chambers, the Mayim El Yoinim, echtaf arupkein of develt." But the Mayim El Yoinim listens. The Mayim El Yoinim does whatever the Eibishter asked him to do. Oysid dvarei, l'shmoya b'kol dvarei. But why? Why does he do it? Because the Mayim Al Yoinim understands that his tachlis is not for him to experience as much kirvus alekim as he can experience. But sein tachlis is to make sure that other yidden are going to benefit also. So the Mayim Al Yoinim gives up on his connection, his kirvus alekim, abi that he should come and he should be able to make it rain. So there's a yid somewhere that has a field and he's growing tomatoes and he needs these tomatoes for his parnasa. So yene yid habim parnasa, I'm willing to give up from myself. Said Rab Dov Rolovsky, "Das ist der größte Gvur in der Welt." A person that can give up from himself for yenim, such mysterious nefesh, that's the Shpitz Gvura. Me ema sei maskirin Gvura is geshamim. Why is it called Gvura? Me she yardim Gvura. This is the Gvura. This is the incredible Gvura that to Mayim El Yoinim shows when it's willing to leave. It's willing to leave the chambers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abi tzimach and abisal besef ayen. So we ended the perek with a kutzkevart. We ended the perek with a vurkevart. And on that note, hadran aloch me ema sei.